Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
You've heard her on before many times, Rosalind McGrath. She's out of Marquette, Michigan. She does channeling. We've channeled many different types of energies. And I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about something today regarding, creative wisdom projects that she has and products that she has. She's got these creative wisdom cards. I have no idea what they are. And also a meditation CD. And she's offering something like the Card of the Week. And so I thought, well, let's find out what that is. How you doing, Rosalind?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Glad to hear that. I got somebody standing over me hitting a button for the door. Yes, hopefully that opens it. So you ready for winter? It's coming soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm never ready for winter.
You don't like winter?
Not especially, no.
You like it?
I accustom myself to it, and it goes fine, but anticipating it is not my favorite thing.
I don't know if people realize, but where I'm at, I broadcast out of Escanaba, Michigan. She's in Marquette, Michigan. There's a huge difference between Escanaba and Marquette. You get a lot more snow and cold because you live right on Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that because I'm on Lake Michigan. And in the winter, the wind out of the north comes off Lake Superior. And because we're near what they call the banana belt, we don't see hardly any down here.
So if I wanted to go south for the winter, I could just go to Escanaba.
That's where I summer. That's where I summer. Some people summer in the Hamptons. I summer in Escanaba. All right. So Rosalind's on. We're going to talk about a number of things today. Creative wisdom cards. You're going to explain to me all this stuff and also how you use visual arts in your work. Where do you want to start with all that?
Well, I'd like to share a little bit about these creative wisdom cards because the whole process of them has been a really interesting journey for me. My training is in the visual arts. I went to Rhode Island School of Design for 3.5 years, at which point I knew that the majors I had been in were not the ones I wanted a career in. And I took a semester off, and I thought I would test out teaching art and see, you know, I'd already been at a, you know, private school for several years and had, you know, loans in there, and I wanted to know for sure, was I really interested in being an art teacher? And I have to say, I had some wonderful teachers there. I had a few who were not, and they really helped me by not being good as teachers. Sure, they were wonderful in their other career areas, but they didn't know how to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually realized that the fact that I spent so much time critiquing them in my mind probably meant that I valued teaching and that I might be interested in teaching, which is something that had never occurred to me before.
Mm.
And art education was not an option on the undergraduate level, so I transferred to a much less expensive school, a New York State school, and I was a New York resident. And anyway, I had taken that semester off in between to test this out, and I came to the conclusion, this is the only thing I could see myself doing for at least 5 years.
Mm.
And wouldn't you know, by, you know, the time I graduated and I was able to get a job teaching art right after that, that within exactly 5 years, I was questioning if I really wanted to continue teaching.
Mm.
And I kind of had to sort that out. And I ended up moving to the UP at that point with the benefit of a one-day-a-week art teaching job, which I did enjoy for quite some time after that. I think one of the things that really led me to teaching art, certainly not the only thing, was but for me to really come to grasp what the value of art is, because that's not overwhelmingly clear in our society.
No, I don't think so. And to be honest with you, I really don't know the answer to that or have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'm sure there are a zillion, you know, answers to that question. But what I discovered for myself is that it brings out, it helps us to be whole people.
Hmm.
That we have this creative side, and it is natural for us to make images. And not that, you know, and of course, all the other arts as well. It's natural for us to move and dance and make noises, and some sillier than others, and mm-hmm. some that we enjoy more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And in our society, you know, people decide at a pretty early age that they are good at an art or not. And if they decide that they're not, there's a good chance they will never do it again.
That's kind of where the road I went, at least with mm-hmm. drawing or trying to paint, those kind of things. I liked it. A lot of fun to be creative. But, you know, I found there's other ways to be creative. So I fused mine in another direction.
Definitely. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's wonderful to free yourself up and let yourself play with these things mm-hmm. because this is natural human activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why there are those prehistoric cave paintings. You know, this it is within the nature of human beings to do these things. And you'll see in more indigenous societies that more people take part in a variety of forms of expression.
Would you say that we, because I read this once, so I want to ask you, mm-hmm. would you say that we are at our happiest when we are able to create?
I can personally answer that. That would be in the top realm there. That's a really good question. I think that there's a strong chance, but certainly I'm biased by my own nature.
Yes.
But I certainly find that spending time with adults doing any kind of creative activity, it becomes a holy space.
Mm.
And I think that my gut feeling on that is that it is because we are being more whole. We are overly activated as a society in the analytical verbal side. And there is so much knowledge and expression that doesn't necessarily come through with words. We use words about them, as I'm doing my best to now. Mm-hmm. But there are other kinds of knowing. That's why Howard Gardner, you know, came out, I think it's probably in the 80s, I forget, but, you know, with the seven kinds of intelligence. Okay, school, traditional, regular schooling honors one or two, and we tend to be very influenced by that and think that's what smart is.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I was also told by, you know, other kids my age, when I was in high school and decided I wanted to go in art school, why do you want to do that? You're smart. Art is for the dumb kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not like this was one person's, you know, that's the attitude often, not everywhere, but there is enough of that because there's also been the idea of the kid's not good at this, well, you could throw him in that. And, you know, it doesn't matter how that turns out. We don't expect much from that kid.
Mm-hmm.
There has been that kind of thinking.
Right.
And certainly not, you know, any disrespect to places where that is not the case at all. And I think, you know, a lot of things may have changed from when I was in school, born in 65 here.
Yeah, so
things have changed.
We're talking the Stone Age.
Yeah. But for myself, having some natural talent in this area, but not the conviction that this is valuable, not really a grasp of that, I had to really discover what that is for me and not... So I feel it brings us more in tune with ourselves.
Does it also? So it does bring us in tune. But I guess what I'm also going to ask is,
yeah,
do you think it opens up doorways for us?
That's what I'm coming to here. Yeah, that this is, you know, anything creative is inspired. What is inspiration from? I feel mm-hmm. it connects mm-hmm. us with the
wherever we came from.
The sense of what it is, yeah, what is beyond our personal self. What see, else is out there that we don't see? You create something that didn't exist before. You know, there is the potential connection to the sacred itself and where we came from. There is a great opportunity for more awareness to flow through, both personally and about the larger world.
It's like we're tapping into, and I mean, maybe this is not what you're saying, but mm-hmm. in my lifetime, it's happened to me, and it happens to me when I'm on the radio, actually, mm-hmm. and when I'm doing a show like this, mm-hmm. and I feel it's not necessarily me, but I'm tapping into something else, mm-hmm. and questions will come to me, or when I'm clowning around on my radio show, ideas will just pop in my head, and I really know that I get myself in a certain frame of mind. It's almost like I channel those mm-hmm. things. And the same I could say with art. And you listen to people that were great musicians in their day, mm-hmm. and they always felt the inspiration came from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So then that reflection, it's like, this is a great opportunity for us to maybe expand and see things in a different viewpoint and maybe realize some things within ourselves that we're not aware of. Now, you use these to heal people. I mean, when you do drawings for them, but they also do them for themselves as well?
Yes. And it may be drawing, it may be writing, or stream of consciousness, or, you know, where you're not editing at all, what goes through your mind. There are ways of work, groups to work together, you know, starting with a word or a phrase and passing it around and creating something new together that's really quite magical. And similar things done with the visual arts, and I've started doing a little more of that with sound making too. It's crucial, I think, to be very gentle and open about this, that people really understand it's not about having this wonderful product mm-hmm. that you end up with, but that you just allow yourself the freedom to explore, and that you don't have to explore anything that feels too uncomfortable for you. Well, so people can opt out of any activity that I'm offering, but they might find themselves more comfortable to join in to something that they, you know, have some butterflies about. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, there are areas that I'm not as comfortable either, and it can push my comfort zone to participate in those too. So I know what that's like.
And, you know, getting back to the question I asked you about, you know, are we at our happiest when we're creating? And this is kind of my take on it, you know, just things I've learned and in my own experience in life, because I know I'm happy when I'm creating, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have that in my life, I kind of lose interest in whatever, if my job is that way, if it's taken away from me, whatever, I wouldn't want to do my job. I'd be a very unhappy person. Mm-hmm. But I look at it as we are these co-creators of the universe, and we live for creating mm-hmm. in our purest essence. And so every moment is a creation. And even if we come back here several times, it's always really about creating. People say, well, you must come back and learn and so you can go forward. And I think more than anything, what are we here for? Keep creating.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder sometimes, and this is getting off a little bit, but I'm thinking if we didn't have that, if the source wasn't allowed to do that and it couldn't expand, maybe it wouldn't exist. That's just kind of
it would implode on itself.
Yeah.
Because its nature is to be creative. It has to create. And exactly, I think we do too. I mean, that's, I think, a beautiful description of about our essentially creative nature.
That's what we are in our core, then what you're doing is giving people this opportunity to explore that. And you're not sitting over them going, you know, that's a lousy drawing, TJ. Go back and do it again. What is that? Dogs playing poker? That's the best I can do, Rosalind. No, that's fine. Let's see what we can take away from this. So what are these cards about? And you're going to have people look at these once a week?
Well, that is an option on my new weblog. which I guess I should check the correct address for, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be creativewisdomcards.com once I get the domain name mapped over. And so let's go with that. Right now it's on WordPress with a similar name. I think I'll put that on my to-do list today. So okay. creativewisdomcards.com.
Right.
And every week I'm putting up a new card, so that's the image. They're very colorful with flowing movement. And when I created these, well, I'll get back to creating about them. And on the back of each card, there are questions to explore, a short section called The Image Speaks, and also suggestions for growth.
Mm-hmm.
They're rather poetically written. I've had a lot of positive feedback about both the images and the words. And it's nice because if you've ever used other guidance decks, mm-hmm. and go to use this with a group, and you're all waiting to get the book and read about your card, first of all, it's worth spending time just with the image. It is... pretty unique. Most cards do not start from the words and then they look for an illustration to go with. These were all generated by the image. And really, I now approach my art making and my writing of this type as a channeling. So I asked for the words to come through, and I've since continued to kind of absorb and learn about the ideas presented in these cards myself.
So these are they like playing cards, or are they the size of a regular?
They are a little bit larger than that, which has made a box impossible to do at a reasonable price,
mm-hmm.
and which made me realize that I had to think outside the box quite literally.
Aww.
So they come with a beautiful purple velvet pouch. So instead of having this box that's going to come apart and you're going to need a pouch for it anyway,
mm-hmm.
You've already got the pouch there. And these are, how big are they? They are four and a fraction across and about 5.5 inches
okay.
high.
Okay.
So it's like an oversized playing card shape.
Something that grandma would use when her vision starts to go?
Yeah.
You know.
And there are 33 of them. I created 36 of these images. The originals are 14 by 17 oil pastel drawings. And at the time that I did them, I would draw one at a time, and it would be such a concentration of energy flowing through it. And I'd be so excited, and I'd have no idea really what was coming next in creating them.
And so what are people supposed to gain by viewing these cards?
Deeper access to their own inner wisdom.
Mm.
That there is guidance for you. These are not the kind of cards that, you know, you read a little phrase and it's like, oh yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
These are really things to spend some time contemplating and just having in your awareness, which is why it's good maybe to have it for the week as opposed to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly sometimes I pick a card for the day, but even for myself, I don't usually feel like picking one every day because I'm still learning from the one I already drew.
So,
it's helping you to enjoy your life more.
And it's going to mean different things to different people.
I have done private sessions with people where we begin with using the cards, and I will have a very different experience of the same card with a different person because their situation is calling different things forth out of it. So although obviously it's the same image in the same words, what is meaningful to the person and the meaning they create from it is going to vary each time.
And why do you do all this? Here's a left field one.
I love creating. I love discovering the universe in this way. I love to see people reach their aha and be uplifted. I love witnessing the shift in their energy. It's just like, whew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I got a lot out of creating those drawings. Often people will assume because of I'm intuitively gifted and I have gifts with the visual arts that I'm clairvoyant. I am not especially clairvoyant. I am far more clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
When I was drawing these, when I would go to bed at night, I close my eyes and all these moving color and images would just be going. It got activated by my doing the drawings.
Hmm.
So I really had a great time doing them, and I did them simply to do them. There was no intention to create a product from them.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people listening might not quite get this, what you're talking about. And, you know, because of my own experiences, and now that I've gotten to know you over a period of time,
mm-hmm.
I know where you're coming from, and I know how inspiration can be, you know, it can come to us in many, many forms. But visual is probably, you know, one of the strongest ways. People aren't going to be listening to us talk and go, wow, I'm really inspired by what they're saying. Probably not. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe if we're these great speakers, you know, these great orators. But otherwise, most people, it's kind of got to be a visual thing. And also, maybe by doing it themselves. So mm-hmm. an opportunity for them to feel something and to explore that and expand on that. But I guess what I was asking also is that I asked you why you do this, and I'm guessing even an answer beyond that, and maybe you haven't contemplated that. If you step back from what you're doing here on this planet, you know, there's a lot of us that feel they've come here to, you and I were kind of talking about this the other day through email,
mm-hmm.
to help nudge people along.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what we're doing.
Is that a question?
Yeah, that's the question.
Absolutely, but it's because we're all one, it's like we're nudging ourselves along.
We're nudging ourselves. We're evolving as well.
So it's all moving forward together.
True, and so, but you do see a lot of people that are involved in trying to open the doorway for others, and maybe they're doing it for themselves as well, like mm-hmm. I'm doing with this show.
I guess it makes sense to me that I must be primed to do that because it gives me great joy.
Mm-hmm. Whatever gives us great joy. What if you, like, for example, like stealing money from other people, that gives you great joy?
always what a if wide-ranging I, what conversation
what if
with
I
you.
Like robbing banks and that gives me great joy? That's probably not the same thing, right?
There's probably a bit that's off balance for that person to where that becomes the joy.
Right. So if you're centered,
where there's really something else that they're seeking, but that's the best way they have found to meet their need at that point.
I see. So running over people
so
with
that becomes their high, but it's not it, but it's because of what's off kilter.
So if I ran over people with a tank, just pedestrians, Rosalind, that probably wouldn't be too balanced, you're saying?
Probably not.
I guess I won't do that. All right, so you also have a creative wisdom extravaganza class coming up in November. Is that
yes.
correct? When is that going to be?
That will be November, I believe it's November 2nd or 3rd, whatever the first Saturday of November is.
Okay.
At the Joy Center in Ishpeming, Michigan.
All right, and if people want to go to that, how do they go about, they have to pay a fee, I'm guessing?
Yes, there is a early registration price of $55,
okay.
and you get your own set of 33 Creative Wisdom cards in their purple pouch, and the 6-track meditation CD. Those are included free with your registration, and that is if you bought them separately, that would be $40 cost.
Okay.
I sell them for $35 as a set. So you're really getting a lot of value, and you will have quite a step up in a lot of creative ways that you can work with these products and the gift of the magic that can be created with a group interacting with them.
How many people do you allow in the class?
I probably wouldn't go to more than a dozen.
Okay.
15 would be a little bit of a stretch.
So if they sign up on your website, do you have any kind of discount? Or?
So if you sign up with me by October 23rd, you get the early bid price of $55.
Okay.
And then it goes up to $65 after that, if there's still room available.
Okay. So act now.
And people are always welcome to contact me with any questions.
Okay. And your website will be posted along with this interview.
Yes.
Okay. So now, something else I was going to ask you. Now, this really doesn't apply to me because I'm not feminine. Well, part of me might be. I'm split, I guess, from what I understand, what they tell me. Feminine energies, you're working with them as well. Doing something with that?
Yes, I have created 29 goddess paintings over several years, and that is just, it's just been a beautiful process because the essence of that goddess archetype guides the whole experience of creating the painting.
Hmm.
For example, with some it was very obvious to me. Pele is known as a goddess in Hawaii of, you know, and I don't, may not have the perfect, you know, traditional descriptions of them, but I know what I sense about them when they flow through me. Mm-hmm. So this kind of force of creation and destruction that volcanoes have. So Pele is very much associated with the volcanoes. And when I painted her, the process was fast and furious. You know, this is, this painting is at least 4 feet high, not real wide, and it was done in 3 days. I have not done any of these paintings nearly so fast. It was just fast and furious, because that's my sense of what her energy is like.
And so you really believe that this volcano has its own energy, like a goddess energy?
I believe that everything has an oversoul and related energies.
And I guess what I was going to say to that, and I don't mean to take you off your thought, but I guess I just did. And, you know, people would go over to Hawaii, and they were told, do not take the lava rocks from the volcano. Do not do that, because you are going to have some really bad luck. And people would do it, and they would do it, and it's like they would... People would wind up mailing these rocks back to Hawaii, saying, please make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you got to believe that there's got to be some kind of energy connected to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have more questions, we may have to see if we channel Pele sometime. But certainly, you know, I think that all art and living is a form of channeling. In a way.
Right.
I mean, there's energies moving in and out of us. We are part of this great channeling of creation.
But let me ask you this. As a man, they always refer to them as like feminine energies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear too much about the masculine energies. We're not going to call on the masculine energies. That makes us want to grunt and maybe start a fire and watch football and those kind of things. The feminine energy.
I think that when our societies become more balanced, that we will.
I see.
Because there is such a need for this to come back into harmony and balance.
There was a time that it was.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting it down. I'm just trying to make light of it.
You're not the first male who's brought up something about the, you know, what about the guys? What?
No, it doesn't.
And the thing is, we are both.
Absolutely.
We are the masculine and feminine principle. And I think we struggle sometimes for the words for these things just because of the lacks in our culture. So.
Well, I also understand, too, that as beings, and this may not be accurate, but from what I understand of it, it makes a lot of sense to me. We actually split when we come into a physical being. And so our feminine energy is with... There's like two of us, you know, and so we're not whole in that respect. Now, when we're out of these bodies and get back to what we are, I don't know if you've ever heard that, Rosalind, but this to me explains why we have such a duality and why men act such a way and women act another way, and they're not as balanced as we maybe could be.
I still think there's a lot more variation within that. And it's more, you know, cultural norms have definitely had an influence, and those have grown over time. And yes, there's things with biology and potentially with our spiritual roots and a sort of splitting. But if you think more of masculine and feminine principle, and with the feminine as receptive, okay, how often do you hear someone say, it's happening more now, but, you know, how culturally accepted has it been? Well, sit back and let it come to you, okay? Creators do this, and they benefit from it. And we have more of a focus on a masculine principle of reaching out. And if you think on the simplest biological level of innies and outies in our reproductive organs, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just all symbolic. There's this moving out, and there's this kind of bringing in and balancing out those qualities which each person has and has to be able to access to really have balance in their life.
Yeah, and I think this is again what I'm observing is that we're seeing men act more feminine and we're seeing women take on more we're more masculine. And I think it's the earth or the universe's way of trying to zap us a little bit to balance this out.
Now, another idea I've heard regarding this balance is that most humans in the female body this time around have had more past lives as males.
Really?
And vice versa, that the males have had more past lives as females, and that we're all coming in now to help balance that out.
Ah.
I don't know, but it certainly is interesting to consider.
No kidding. You know, I've always had, I guess, a gentler, compassionate, more connected with that side of it as well. Not that I'm not a guy or male, which is, you know, not too many guys who come out and say, you know, I'm really not a guy. But I feel myself as being both, very comfortable with both end of it. But I also see it as, I don't have a problem with the feminine energy. I really don't have a problem. I've never had a problem expressing my emotions, although I still hide them a little bit. And I've never thought it was a bad thing. You know, as a kid, I hit it after a while because you go to school. You don't want to be thought of and called names. But I really embrace that side because I feel it's just part of what I am, a combination of both, you know.
And I would say that most men I know personally have described themselves that way to me. I don't know if it's because, you know, how much has to do with the fact that those are the males that I gravitate towards. Or, you know, how widespread that trend is. But I have heard almost the same words from other men.
In my dad's era, that never would have happened. Right. And maybe he would have felt it, but he would have looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Because he was kind of a macho construction guy. And so he would have probably looked at me and threw me out of the house. But as I see the younger generation of guys that are married, that have families, they seem to be pretty comfortable expressing that and living that. And that's a natural thing, I think.
Yeah, and I can see that more so in my stepson's generation. You know, he's in his late 20s now than in mine. I see that evolving further looking at him and his friends.
You know, and to me, they're always the next group that comes in is probably pushing us along a little further. And it's taken us so long to get to this point. And maybe now it's speeding up a little bit. Maybe there's an opportunity to speed things up. We're kind of running out of time here. Is there anything else you want to go, any other road you want to go down, Roslyn?
I guess just to share a little more about these goddess energies, that they really, what's flowing through me with them really wants to get out there more. So I'm working towards this book that has poems and meditations and things about mine and other people's experiences with these paintings, and I felt moved to create a meditation CD related to this. Someone called with a request for a chakra balancing CD. She has my Creative Wisdom Meditation CD and plays it often, And I really thought about that. And, you know, there's a lot out there like that. So I thought, well, what would really be worthwhile for me to do? And it immediately came that to have that chakra balancing from the point of view of these different goddess energies.
Mm.
So we have what Kali has to share for balance. And Kali, kind of similar to Pele, is known, I would say, as a liberator from illusion. And Isis, death and rebirth, and Kuan Yin, a goddess of compassion. So looking through their lens, the meditations that I feel in some way, whether you think there's a goddess or there's ideas about goddesses or whatever that is, that something came through me to form these meditations that are recorded live as part of a full workshop day.
And
so I want to check in about refinements in that, but I would say by November for sure, and possibly in October, that I will have that CD ready to go.
Hmm. That sounds interesting. Now, where do you come up with these goddess energies? I mean, a lot of them have been listed as, you know, like mythical beliefs or ancient beliefs, and is that where that's drawn from? I mean, when you mention Isis, I've heard of Isis before.
Yeah, there are some that I've done that it gives me names that I've never heard of before.
Hmm.
They're not represented in that CD, because I just have several on there. But within that 29, there are ones I've looked for some documentation on and haven't found anything, but they're very clear this is what I would like to be called. And then others I have heard of before.
Hmm. And so you felt this through your channeling as to they were communicating with you?
So I've come to, I learned to move away from just focusing on the aesthetics and what I learned as this makes good art, to really free myself up to do this the way that I do other kinds of channeling, the way that I do spoken channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly, you know, I'm not in a trance, but I'm asking, in the case with the goddess paintings, either I'm feeling a certain kind of goddess energy kind of asking to come through, or I ultimately feel that's what all of it is, that they chose me more than I chose them.
Mm. And again, for people that are listening, they're going, what is this stuff? Goddess energies? I mean, these are just other entities or energies that exist, right? As there is endless amounts of energies. And would you qualify them as being something that is there to help us in our own best good? Something that is certainly not trying to, that we have to worship or that is trying to control us?
Right. It's not about worship. It's about activating those qualities in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to believe or know or even care necessarily about goddesses in themselves, but that the qualities that can be activated in you to lead a more fulfilling life, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And it exists in all of us.
Absolutely.
Because we're all part of the same, aren't we?
We are in our very multivaried selves, absolutely.
Mm. And even if we're men or women and we see things slightly different, it's all part of the...
I think we're meant to see them differently because we are expanding the experience of creation.
Mm. This time around. Next time around, we might be in a different role.
I don't know. You always have such expansive points.
Next time, I'm going to be Rosalind, and you're going to be me. And you'll be asking me the questions, and I'll go, I don't know. Or, you know, I might not be quite as in tune as you are. So, but thank you very much, Rosalind. Anything else you want to add to that?
Just that I would love for people to take a look at my new weblog, thecreativewisdomcards.com. And if you'd like to comment on your experience of the cards or the meditation, or anything else about the site, you're welcome to do that, and you can get a discount on ordering any of those Creative Wisdom products.
All right.
And that's through October 31st, 2012.
And your website is intuitivelearningcreations.com.
Yes.
Find out more about Roslyn and what she's up to and who she is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.